We just finished up the sermon series looking at the relationship between our responsibility as citizens of the kingdom of God and how that relates to the way we function as citizens of the United States or citizens of our country. That sermon series was done last week, but you know, because of what happened yesterday, I felt like it would be important to just reiterate a passage that that I read three weeks ago. This is from 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul, writing to his protege Timothy, tells him that that we need to offer up requests, prayers, intercession, and thanks for those in high positions so that we can live peaceful, quiet, godly, and dignified lives. And, you know, it's we live at a time when there are heightened anxieties around politics. The world has placed so much hope and so much need on our political leaders. We as Christians, though, don't have that same need for our politicians to offer that hope for us. We have a different hope. These people can just be men or women. We can vote for whoever we vote for. You can vote for Trump and pray for Trump and Biden. You can vote for Biden and vote for Trump and pray for both of them. You can vote for neither of them and still desire that God bless both of them the same way that we would pray for anyone. And so there is an opportunity for us to live a quiet and peaceful, godly and dignified life because we don't need these men to be our hope. They can instead be people that we pray for. And so, you know, just moving forward with whatever happens, just remembering that our goal is to live quiet, dignified, peaceful, and godly lives. And that includes having a gracious and loving attitude towards these people who are functioning as politicians. And our unity isn't based on who we agreed to vote for. Our unity is found in our shared responsibility, like the necessary lives of praying for both of them. Our unity is that we desire all of them to be blessed by God, and we're praying for all of them together, and that's where our unity lies. So as you're thinking about like kind of what happened and what we do as we respond, our response is to pray for them, to pray that God blesses them, and to thank God for them. That's exactly what Timothy said to his protege. That was not what the sermon was going to be about today. Starting tomorrow, the hottest week of the year, every single year, you can mark it on your calendar, ask Leslie, when are we having Vacation Bible Camp? And you will know that will be the hottest week of the year. It has never failed. And we moved it up several weeks. We're like, you know what, let's make it like mid-July. We'll definitely get out of the hot zone. Nope, we carried it straight over to July. So just guarantee that's going to happen. We are doing Vacation Bible Camp next week, which is pretty cool. We're going to have, oh gosh, like 65-ish teenagers, 65-ish elementary schoolers, and like mid-30-ish preschoolers, right? What's that? 33, exactly. Yeah. Good job, Celia. So we've got all these kids. We have a ton of people who are helping out. A lot of you are able to help out every single day. Some of you are able to get off certain mornings or days of the week and able to help out. And I just wanted to talk about our attitude and really focus our sense of mission going into this week. It's going to be really easy to get this. It's going to be easy for me. I have been distracted thinking about the heat. I was outside working for 30 minutes. I came inside. It was like I jumped in the pool. And I'm thinking, man, it's going to be 3 hours a day. Now, Thursday and Friday look pretty good, but those first 3 days are in my head already, right? That's irrelevant. What is relevant instead is the reason that we're doing this. And I wanted us to really focus on the high value that God places on children, and remind ourselves that this isn't just like a nice thing that we're doing, and that like, oh, this is just what we do. The mission, the call to be a blessing, to bring God's blessing into the lives of children, is like, it's woven all throughout the Bible. It's interesting, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, the like supernatural revelation of God's law and the Ten Commandments, like the way it shows up, it's like this high moment in the scripture, when like it would be the high point of a movie, like where the crescendo takes place and God's word is revealed, and the people know, like, this is the root of all of God's sense of what it means to be a human. Like, you would function this way. And so Deuteronomy chapter 5 has this really powerful sense to it. And then Deuteronomy chapter 6, the first two paragraphs in Deuteronomy chapter 6 talks about our kids. Like the very next thing after the revelation of God, and do this in such a way that it blesses our kids. Do this in such a way that it's present to our children. This is for us and for our children and for our children's children. There's an attention not just to like what God is doing, what God's doing on earth, but the blessing that this is for our kids, that the word of God, that the kingdom of God is being revealed to people, is immediately thrust into the value of that is thrust into the lives of the kids. There is obviously a great personal value in coming to know what it means to live in the kingdom of God, to understand God's heart and God's will, and to have the humility to choose to live that way. That's good. But then to look at our kids and to imagine what their lives might be like if they grew up in a world where God's kingdom is normal. Like, I don't know how you grew up. Like, I don't know what kind of family you grew up in. A lot of you probably grew up in families that weren't committed to doing the best they could to follow Christ. Now, I want to make this clear. Like, even if, even in the best of families, like, we're not, there are no sinful people. But there's a big difference growing up in a household that is oriented around understanding and submitting to the word of God, and growing up in a household where it's not normal. Not just your own household, but your neighborhood, your school. That it's there is a sense that the world might be a different place as a result of the kingdom of God. Growing up that way is dramatically different than growing up in a world where God's will is alien to them. And so immediately after the Israelites sense, or they become aware of, they have revealed to them the word of God, their attention is brought to kids. And I want to read this. I'm going to start with Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 9. He mentions kids in the first three verses as well, but I want to start with verse 4. Moses says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You must love the Lord your God with all your with your whole mind, your whole being, and your whole strength." This becomes the like the way to wrap up the law. When Jesus is asked to describe, like, what is the most important of the law and the prophets, he said it can be wrapped up in this: loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. The root of that being the love of God reveals to us how to love our neighbor. So, like, this first part becomes the shorthand for understanding God's kingdom or God's world. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one." That is, this one that we're following is God, and there is only one God. There is only one way to live. "You must love your God, the Lord your God, with all your mind, with all your being, and with all your strength." That is, you desire for the good of God. You desire for God's good kingdom to be normal. That's what love is about. And then he says, "These words I'm commanding you today must be kept in your mind." These laws aren't to be imposed on you from the outside. these laws are to be something that becomes like normal to you on the inside. Instead of it being something that compels you or forces you to act based on some authority, there is a love for the kingdom of God from inside your mind, from inside your being, that compels you to act. They must be on your mind, and you must teach them to your children and speak of them as you sit in your house, as you walk the road, as you lie down, as you get up. Because there's something that is dear to you from the inside of you, they become normal in just the way you live, the way you eat together, and the way that you talk together, the way that you interact. Your kids grow up in a world where they don't even know what it's like to reject God. I think about what it takes to be a person who says, I don't want to follow God. I don't want God to be my Lord, right? For a person that has never grown up with it and never seen any value in the love of God played out in their household, that makes a lot of sense to me. It makes a lot of sense that a person would say, from the outside looking in, this seems like a lot of work. On the other hand, having grown up in a household where the law of God was normal and it directed our life, I remember when I came to the point that I was like, I want to make this commitment myself. And it didn't feel like I was like converting to receive God. It simply felt like I was affirming what I had all my life received from God. I had grown up in a world where the law of God was normal, and I simply said, this makes a lot of sense to me, and I want to keep living this way. I saw the value in it in my own life. Not that we were perfect, but the law of God was spoken as we sat in our house, as we walked on the road, as we lied down, and as we got up. He says, you should tie them. Tie them as a reminder on your forearms. Fasten them as symbols on your forehead. Inscribe them on the door frames of your house and gates. When I read this, I thought about some of you who have like things written on, like tattoos written on you. I think of like down south, like every home has some Bible verse, like when they first walk in, like they literally, they're like, let's figure out how to like put this on our door frames, you know? And I think all that's great. But what this is talking about is like that there are manifestations, symbols, like it's not just something that we keep inside of our head, that we like think, that we don't ever talk about. We talk about them. We have things that we do that remind us of the love of God, that it's normal in our hearts and it shows up in our lifestyle and the way that we live. It's just something that's normal. And you can see the Israelites immediately receiving this this revelation of God's word about what their life could be like. The coming out of slavery, they had this opportunity to enter into an incredible freedom into God's good world. And the first thing they say is, now think about what our household can be like so that we can raise our children in this normative freedom of the kingdom. The way that we feel, the way that we interact, even the symbols and things that we do, maybe the way we do our holidays. There's all the different things in our life reveal and point back to the law of God, the kingdom of God. I think that this is a tremendous gift that we offer our kids. Next week, we are going to have 160 kids. And I don't know how many of them grew up with that. Grew up knowing that what it's like in the kingdom of God. We are only going to have 15 hours with them, drop in the bucket for their life. You think about all the influences that they're going to have in their life. But for 15 hours this year, they get to know what it's like to be immersed in the kingdom of God, They get to know what it's like to be with adults who have loved God in their heart, who make it normal in the way that they live, who have symbols, and who live in a world where the law of God is normative, where the kingdom of God pervades our life. They get to have a taste, if they don't have it the rest of their life, they get to have a taste of the kingdom of God. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Hopefully there's a lot of fun that they have, and they're going to hear the Bible studies. They're going to learn things. It's very good. But most importantly, they're going to know what it's like to be with people who live in God and in whom God lives in them. I am curious. I would be curious for some of them if there is a difference, what they perceive about what it's like to be in and among people for whom the kingdom of God is normal. And not just the adults, teenagers. We're going to have, I don't know, 65 kids, 63 kids. Several of them have said they don't go to church. Some of them said they go occasionally. I really don't know where they are spiritually. Some of them are probably going to be pretty annoying, you know? But I don't know how they grew up. I know how you did, you know? And I know the opportunity that you have to briefly, show them what a different life might be like when where the kingdom of God is normal. I'm not trying to put anything on you. Just be yourself. Just be you, because you guys are awesome. But remember that in being you, there's value that you bring to people around you. And, you know, you're not going to get into the details. You're not going to know the value that you bring, you know? You're not going to know the difference that you make in their life being you, because you don't know what the rest of their life is like. They're only going to reveal bits and pieces of it. And usually people present things that make them look pretty good, you know? Usually people don't show the worst. But just be you. And remember who you are and see what God does with that. Matthew 19, there's a story where Jesus is teaching, and somehow these hoodlums cut loose and they decide they want to go bump up on Jesus and get close to Jesus. It says, these little children, this is Matthew 19, starting with verse 13, these little children were brought to him for him to lay hands on and to pray. So these parents got real uppity, you know, and they decided like, hey, bless my kids. Now the disciples did the right thing. They scolded those who brought them. This is an important man. Children are filthy. Okay, you wash your kids, all right? But I got to tell you, it hasn't always been, like, showers haven't always been available. Adults, at the best of times, historically, haven't been all too, like, they haven't always smelled good. Kids specifically were germ carriers, man. They're awful. Like, we think of kids as like, oh, we want to hold them or whatever. Like, they were filthy. And, you know, they didn't know how to act. Like, they haven't always been this, like, you haven't always just doted on children as if they my own child was the greatest thing that God had ever created on earth. Like, it hasn't always been that way. We're very lucky to grow up when we did. Because I know you were the greatest, right? It makes sense to these disciples to say, hey, he's got an important task here. Leave him alone. But Jesus says this, he says this crazy thing. Listen to what he says. Let the little children come to me and don't stop them, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Jesus is from the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is at home in a place where kids are normal. Peter, when I interact with you, you don't remind me of what it was like in the kingdom of God with the Father. This kid is more similar. This kid reminds me of home. This kid has a freedom in the way that he thinks. He has a curiosity. He has an innocence that you don't have, Peter. You perceive that you're this really important person gatekeeping me from these kids, right? We got this important thing that we're doing. And I get it. You're doing the best you can. I'm not trying to dog you out, Peter. But these kids, they remind me of home. As I said already, some of these kids tomorrow are going to be super annoying. The same way that Peter was annoyed by them. But I wonder if our annoyance is because our brains don't work like Jesus. Like, obviously, like, kids do dumb things. I'm not saying that they don't. But they also are the kind of people that remind Jesus of the kingdom of God. Maybe tomorrow when we're interacting with them, we could look at them with the same kind of eyes that Jesus did and notice how they remind us of the kingdom of God, that we might enjoy them the way Jesus enjoyed them. There are so many responsibilities as a parent, so many responsibilities that we have to our kids, to teach them, to remind them how to be. I think our number one responsibility is to help them become the kind of people that we can enjoy. I can't think of a better gift that I have received from you, that we simply enjoy one another. Like if I walked into this room and you guys were like, oh, here comes Clay, you know, I'd have been like, oh, that would have an effect on my psyche. The fact when I walk in and I get this perception, at least you give me the impression that you kind of enjoy me, that does something to me. That affects my spirit. Tomorrow, when we look at these kids, we remember Jesus literally enjoyed them. He reminded them of home. I pray that we enjoy them tomorrow, that they perceive our enjoyment of them, that their spirits are shaped by our love for them. I know it's only 15 hours, and I know that they have a lot of influences, good and bad, that they're going to experience all during the year, that I pray for these 5 days and for these 15 hours that they experience the kingdom of God among us and that they realize that we enjoy them. We're going to take a few minutes, maybe a lot of minutes. We're going to have the names for every kid that's going to be at camp. Some of your names are going to be up there. And the adults who are working at camp are going to be up there. I'm going to ask that you pay attention to the names and that you pray that God, if you're working, you pray that God soften your heart for these kids. I pray that, ask that you pray a blessing over these people, the adults and the kids, and that you imagine what might happen if God becomes normal in their lives, and you pray that that becomes a reality, that the kingdom of God, that the love of God, that the law of God becomes normal in their hearts. It happens, that the kingdom of God is something that happens as they walk, as they eat. It's written on their foreheads and on their wrists. Father God, for all these children, for all the teens, for all the adults, who'll be spending this next week growing in their care and love for one another and growing in our attention towards you. Lord, I pray that there is a blessing that comes about as a result of the revelation of your kingdom, Lord, that the blessing is not because anything special has happened, that not because we are heroic or anything. God, just that an awareness of you permeates. Lord, that between us, between our relationships, that you are binding us in your love, Lord. Lord, for all the different reasons and ways that people can become close, I pray that there is a closeness and a bond that occurs because we become more aware of you. And God, if at all possible, I pray that these children become curious about you, interested in you, and that they might begin to love you. And in some way, that they would start to experience your love and your kingdom in their lives. We love you. Amen.